You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Well, I'm here together with Ed, and we launched Essential Church Planting a few weeks ago. So what are your thoughts so far, Ed?
I didn't interrupt you. Did you notice that? For the yes. first time ever.
I know, you were smirking too.
This is a moment to be marked in history. Anyway, what was your question? I was so focused on not interrupting you, I forgot your question.
Well, we've gotten such a great response from launching Essential Church Planting.
Oh, the course. Yes. Oh, yeah. I've got lots of nice notes, people. Someone tweeted I forget what they said, but something really nice. Did you make people do that, or did people like voluntarily do that?
No, I think they voluntarily did that.
Let me see. It's someone said that this was filled with wisdom, helpful information, some fantastic and grounded wisdom here on church planning from Ed Stetra. Sadly, doesn't mention you.
That's okay. You're the feature on the first three videos.
Oh, wow.
I've
always wanted to be the feature. Yeah. That's right. It's first three videos. So, but once they got to Daniel M, they would say, like he says, this is Robin Ham, some fantastic and grounded wisdom. They might say amazingly more fantastic and grounded wisdom from you.
Yeah, well, probably more on my looks than yours then.
Wow, bro.
Hey,
bro,
you got the brain. You got the brain.
Bruh. Wow.
But the neat thing is, you know, you could go to Essential Church Planting, newchurches.com/essentialchurchplanting, and you can actually get the first three videos for free.
For free. We like free.
18-module course. Yeah.
Yeah, 18-module course. Yep.
Right on. Well, that was very off topic.
But and very awkward.
Yes, a little bit. But we did want to do a giveaway on our podcast today as well. This was submitted by me 8479544.
That's the person's name?
That's their ID on iTunes. And this is what they said. Great resource for planters and multi-site, 5 stars. I've benefited in some way from every episode so far and have been able to put them to immediate use. Great food for thought and practical resources. I wish I had this when we planted 13 years ago, but I'm grateful to benefit now in leading a new campus that is about to launch.
Wow.
Well, thank you, me 8479544. Shoot me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or DM me on Twitter and we'll send you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen.
Booyah.
Well, today we have a question from Ross, so let us
listen in. Ross, the guy from Friends?
No? Yeah, who's on a new show that, you know, anyway.
I don't know. I didn't know that. Okay.
Hi there, guys. In the process at the moment of getting ready to start planning on launching a new church plant, one question is, how do you go around raising funds so that you can launch well the first time? Thank you.
So how do you go about raising funds so you can launch well for the first
time?
Where
was that cool accent from, though?
From the UK.
From the UK.
Yeah.
All right. We got listeners in the UK.
Yep.
I'll be there keynoting the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches annual meeting.
When is that?
I don't even know. October of this year. Maybe end of October, beginning of November, I think.
Okay.
Awesome. So good. So raising funds. Okay, so I'm trying to ask the question about, is it different in the UK? I'm not an expert on UK. So let's talk in general. Okay, so first, what I would say is that part of it is you have to be comfortable asking people to help support the ministry. Now there's a helpful book called People Raising. And in People Raising, the idea here is that it's not just you're not just running around asking people for money, but instead you're specifically asking people to be involved in some significant ministry. So Bill Dillon wrote that. And so what I would say is I would get a feel, because this is when I ask people for money, and I've asked people for a lot of money. I've probably asked people for millions of dollars and raised millions of dollars over the years. Is that I do so in a way that I cast a vision to them.
Yeah.
I do so in a way that I see myself as giving them the opportunity to be blessed by participating in something.
That's good.
And so I consider it a ministry to ask them to be blessed by participating. So I would start with some training in that. So I'd read People Raising. There's some other resources around that. But then what I would do is I would make a list of friends, churches, ministries, and I would go contact all of them. So I ask them, can I meet with you? I want to talk to you about a ministry. And yes, I'm going to ask you to help. And then I get there. I sit down with them. I'd have a fundraising conversation. I'd plan it out. I'd say, Daniel, here's what we're doing. We're planning a church. We need support. I'd give them a time frame. I'd ask them for an amount. I'd ask them to pray about it.
Yeah.
And then I'd tell them I'd like to come back a week from now and let's see if you might be open to do that. You know, so in doing so, I go to churches. Now, churches are trickier because churches have seasons, when budget season, time frame. Yeah. You know, asking a pastor to help support a church plant, you know, in the second week of December doesn't make any sense. So kind of plan around, give them enough lead time that's actually there. So I would then have these fundraising conversations, have follow-up fundraising conversations as well. I would track them and you know, continue to go back. Once you now again, here's the thing you got to remember. I interviewed Steve Douglas, who's at Crew. I keep wanting to say Campus mm-hmm. Crusade, but Crew. And, you know, they have like tens of thousands of people
yeah.
who raise funds. Mm-hmm. So this is not, you know, we had missionaries out of our church. They're going through through our denominational missions agency, but they had to raise their own funds yeah. to do it. And mm-hmm. so they raised their own funds to be missionaries for 3 years in yeah. another country. So people do this all the time. I think we just have to strategically plan, kind of walk through that fundraising process. And what I would say is one of the things you just might want to consider is there are other factors. If you've been a missionary in Ethiopia for 12 years and you're coming back, you don't know anybody, this may be different. But I mean, if you can't raise funds and attract money to the venture God called you to, you may have a difficulty raising people to get them on mission with you in the church that you're planning as well. What would you add?
Yeah, well, I mean, before I do that, I just wanted to recap. So the groups of people,
yeah.
you know, that we could ask, you know, you had mentioned friends, family members, churches. Would you add any to that?
Friends, family members, churches. I don't know. I can't think of anything else. Friends, family members, churches. You know, ministries. I mentioned ministries, yeah. but that's a little less. I mean, there are a little less ministries are doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
There are a few foundations, but mm-hmm. they don't generally take individual church planners approaching them. Your denomination yeah. or your network would be a key partner in this. But your denomination network probably has a set amount.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, planting a Wesleyan church, it's blank from the national, it's blank from the district. It's kind of laid out that way.
Yeah. And that's one of the benefits of, because yeah. I'm not sure if Ross is planning to plant independently or right. not, but that is one of the benefits of
yeah.
joining.
Yeah. Having those partnerships. And most networks don't have, you know, denominations tend to have more resources. Actually, most churches planted in the U.S. are actually through denominations. Mm-hmm. It may be different in the U.K. It's the same in Australia and Canada. We've done research in all three of those countries. So there's connections. So denominations tend to resource more effectively. Networks tend to resource more individually.
Yes.
Okay. So if you're an ARC church, mm-hmm. you might have some funds from the ARC, but you also will have local churches that sort of partner as well. Denominations tend to be more centralized and organized
yeah.
than networks might be. In Acts 29, you might give, you pay it forward to another person who,
yes.
who the funds don't come from a localized central source as much as in denominations. So I would think, I mean, I would say too, I mean, the most common way to raise funds for church planting is getting a job.
Yeah.
And so that's bivocational. And we've talked a lot about that, right? Mm-hmm. People can go back and listen
yeah,
to past
yeah,
episodes.
We'll link in the show notes.
Exactly.
As well.
So listen to some of those past episodes, but the end result is that you've got to come up with the resources, build some partnerships, cast some vision. People give to vision, not to need. And then the end result is hopefully you can be more effective and ultimately kind of moving forward in raising funds to plant a church.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of it is there are some individuals that will say, hey, I want to raise $100,000 or $300,000 before I even start. But if you go more the bivocational route, then you can think of the terms of, okay, hey, I am going to raise funds, but I'm also going to work and have it a little bit more in a longer term perspective.
Yeah, no question. I think a longer term perspective, let me mention that too, mm-hmm. is that don't ask people to fund you forever.
Yeah.
You need to show them a plan leading to self-sufficiency. Now, you know, the UK is far more difficult to plant a church than, for example, where we're sitting right now in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So you might want to say, I need multiple years of support. Now, the problem is people aren't going to generally say, I'll give you 5 years of support.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to do 3 years step down. 3 years yeah. is kind of a usual thing. So, and maybe even ask them, say, you know, commit for 3 years at blank level or commit for 3 years at a stair-step level, but you may have to cultivate other donors, but only when you see forward-thinking progress. People want to know that there's forward progress actually taking place. So if you're still raising funds at year three, mm-hmm. and you've still got, you know, 12 people,
yeah.
you're going to have a hard time actually raising funds. And it doesn't make sense missiologically mm-hmm. to fund that forever. This is where bivocationalism would be a better choice.
Yeah, and the benefit of that also is not only keeping your donors up to date with where you're at in terms of fundraising, but also having stories when you ask them to support you in terms of why God has called you to this, right? So why has God called you to this? Why should they invest in you and in the mission that God is wanting you to be a part of, right? So, I mean, by having these stories, by having tangible, not only a prospectus with you, but tangible stories to share, I mean, that's going to help. The other thing is when you ask individuals for support, ask them if they have friends or others.
Oh, that's great.
That you can connect with as well. Because I mean, there's a whole network of support, people who are generous tend to know other people who are generous as well. So that'll help tremendously. Now let's talk a little bit about, the difference, in support raising when it comes to, different ethnicities. Right. So, for example, for me as an Asian Canadian, part of it is it's a little bit difficult to ask for support amongst family and friends. For others, it's fine. You know, in terms of I can ask friends or other churches or networks, but a little bit it's difficult to ask my family.
Interesting. Okay.
Because of the persona, or not even the persona, the assumption that I need to work hard to get things done.
Well, first of all, let me encourage you. You do need to work hard, maybe yeah. a little harder around here. Because I know you're sleeping in La Noon every day, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so that's a fair question that I am, of course, less familiar with. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is I think that that there's going to be a sense you have to ask the question, what's the culturally appropriate way to do this in this context?
That's a good question.
And there may be somebody, like in a case where in some cultures, where somebody else might even ask for you, where let's say you get a significant sponsor church who can contact people, maybe not your family, maybe that's limited, but someone else can kind of reach out and say, hey, is there a way you can help Daniel with this or get involved in that way? So what I would say is you really just have to go all in though.
Yeah.
Would you approach your family or would you, how would you do it? Would you just kind of rule them out as people to approach?
Yeah, I mean, it's different when you're a student and asking for support on a mission trip. But when this comes to, hey, you're a working age adult.
Okay. Get a real job.
Yeah, get a real job. Okay. That's really the mentality.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to have the support of a denomination or a network and have a support of a parent church, of a sending church, because that's where a lot of your, not only your relational and your ongoing support, but financial support will come from.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, thank you for listening in to today's episode. If you haven't done so already, we'd appreciate if you go on to iTunes and leave a rating or review for us. That'll help others discover the podcast and benefit from it as much as we hope you are. So we'll catch you next time.